This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Real entertaining game here this evening on a Tuesday night in downtown Buffalo, and it's the Sabres after being down 2-0 after the first period of play. Come back, grab a lead. San Jose ties it up, forces overtime, and it's the captain of the Sabres who's the best player in this game tonight. 4 points for Jack Eichel. He gets the game winner, 3:13 into the overtime session. And Buffalo beating San Jose for the second straight game by the same score. 4-3, the final tonight, though, in overtime. Buffalo getting it done. As we welcome you here back to KeyBank Center in the press box, I'm Brian Colziel. This is the official Paul William Belt Sabres post-game show. Well, Eichel's going to be the story tonight. Some play throughout. He was definitely the story, even at times. The building, even wondering why he didn't shoot when he had chances to shoot early on in the game. But as the second went on, when he finally decided to let one go, he got a big blast to get Buffalo on the board. He opened the scoring for the Sabres, closed out the scoring, assisted on the middle two, and he's named the first star. No doubt about it, it was Eichel's night tonight here for the final 45 or so minutes of this game as the Sabres dominated puck possession in the overtime. I think out of the two or so minutes that was played, they probably had possession of it for at least a minute and a half. And the Sabres get the only shot of the overtime session. And it's Eichel and Ristolainen jamming away at it in the crease. And Eichel gets it done before the net comes off. The play is reviewed. It looked as though there may be a look at goaltender interference, but it ends up being a good goal. And the Sabres pick up their eighth win of the season. 8-1-1 on the year. Who would have thunk? 8-1-1 in the first 10 games. And some home ice advantage cooking here at KeyBank Center. The Sabres are 5-0 at home. It's the first time Buffalo has started with five straight home wins since 1984. Yes, 1984. That is some home ice advantage so far under Ralph Kruger, who's going to start to get more and more credit for this team as Buffalo gets it done today against, I think, a very, very good San Jose team here. Coming up on our post-game show, we'll be heading to the locker room in just a few moments. Paul Hamilton is on his way to the Sabres dressing room, so we'll get some live player reaction to this 4-3 Sabres OT win tonight, in which Jack Eichel ends up getting the game winner. Also, we'll hear from Ralph Kruger and his post-game comments when he meets with the media. We'll take you there live. Also, your phone calls are welcome. Toll-free number, wherever you're listening around the world, 1-888-552-550. Again, 1-888-552-550. If you are listening in the Buffalo area, you want the local number, it's 803-0550, 803-0550. Highlights, we'll check the scores and the rest of the games throughout the NHL, keep you posted on the World Series. And, of course, we got to look at the standings. Sabres keep winning. It's fun to look at the standings. Yes, we're only 10 games in, but I can probably tell you where the Sabres are going to be after they entered the night tied for first in the NHL, and they pick up 2 points tonight in this overtime win. All right, so locker room here in just a moment. But Eichel, let's start with more on him. In the first period and even early second period, there were some rushes and some opportunities for Eichel to shoot the puck. And at times we've seen him do this over the course of his career. He's trying to maybe look to make the more fancier play, the cuter play, trying to set up his teammates when we know how good his shot is, and he's just got to let it rip and maybe just be selfish. And the opportunities were there on the first. He missed on one, I thought, early on to take a good shot. He's got one of the best shots on this team, and I think he's got to take it anytime he's got an open lane to do it, especially too. I mean, Martin Jones seems beatable, and I'd like Eichel to take more shots. In the second, there was a couple rushes where he had a glorious opportunity to shoot it. Again, I thought he got maybe a little bit too cute. But on the power play, finally let one rip on a one-timer, and that kind of got him going. And then Eichel making some plays along the way. He had a big part in the next two goals with assists and then gets the game winner. 3:13 into the overtime session for Eichel's fourth point of the night, his sixth goal of the season. Ristolainen and Mittelstadt end up assisting on that game winner, 3:13 into overtime. Buffalo hits the road for a two-game road trip. They are at Madison Square Garden against the Rangers on Thursday. That's a 7 o'clock game. And then on Friday, 7:30 start in Detroit against the Red Wings. All right, let's go to the room. Live reaction. Here's Rasmus Ristolainen with Paul Hamilton.
Thanks, Brian. Rasmus, looked like both you and Jack charged the net there. Take me through the overtime goal, if you would.
Yeah, I mean, great heads-up play by Mitzi, and they kind of had a tough change there, so we got into a 2-on-1, and when I get 2-on-1, maybe a couple times a year, I'm never going to pass. So, but, you know, good second effort by Jack, and try to crush the net as well and get some havoc there, so worked out good.
Did you get the goal? It looked like you got the last whack at it.
No, I think Jack had it.
Did you?
Why were you guys so dominant in overtime? I don't think you lost. I mean, you might have lost the puck for 5 seconds the whole overtime. Why were you guys so dominant?
I don't know. Maybe because we're young. You know, we get excited when the game is on the line. I feel like we had a lot of players who likes to play 3-on-3 and, you know, wants to be the guy who wants to score. I think we played it really smart and, you know, just a lot of skill in this room and speed. So worked out.
At the end of the first period, you're down 2-0. I didn't think you guys played that poorly, to be quite honest with you. I mean, you missed on some chances. Maybe you didn't shoot on some chances. But overall, I didn't think you played that poorly, and you came out 2-0. What was the feeling in the locker room?
You know, I think we were really calm. Everyone knew what happened. And, you know, we know if we play our game, we have a really good chance to win. And like you said, we had chances. We didn't score. And they had a couple chances we gave them, and they scored.
Did you guys just say to yourselves, we need to shoot a little bit more and not pass up some of the opportunities you guys passed up?
Yeah, you know, I feel like a lot of times what I like, you know, we know what was going on out there in the first, you know, just be quiet, take a breath, just regroup and play our game.
It just seems like now that I've watched 10 games, it just seems like there's a confidence here that maybe has been missing before that, hey, we're going to be all right. You know, we can take what's going on in the game, good or bad, and we're going to be okay. Is that usually what the feeling is here?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's easy to be confident when your record is what we have. But, you know, I think it started from the camp. I think Ralph brought the confidence. You know, he brought a great claim game plan and system. And that's what we have played out there. You know, we all are on the same page. And now we see it's working when we doing what the coaches say. And we work hard both ways.
As defensemen, you guys are really playing with a lot of confidence. Seems like you guys no hesitation when joining the rush, and you're able to. You guys are working together to clean up if there are any mistakes in the D zone.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like all the five guys out there plus the goalie, we're working together and we're on the same page.
Thank you, Rasmus. Rasmus Ristolainen in the post game. Brian, back to you.
All right, Rasmus Ristolainen. He was not afraid to shoot in that overtime, as he said, a couple of 2-on-1 opportunities, and he's able to finish it and get it done. As the Sabres win it in overtime. Back to the room, here's another goal scorer, Sam Reinhart, live with Paul.
And realize, you know, the talent they have over there, and you know, they did make us pay, but, you know, I like, you know, the start of the second, you know, how we came out, and, you know, it was a big point for us to get him, and, you know, obviously the second one.
Was that Jack at his best? I mean, you've been beside him from day one. Was that one of his best performances ever, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think so. You know, it's he's a fun guy to play with when he's skating all over the ice like that. You know, I think him, Ole, and myself, you know, I've talked a lot over the last couple of days, and, you know, we wanted to, you know, come in tonight and produce again. So, you know, it was nice to, you know, kind of pitch in tonight.
How good is it to make this a real tough place to play? You guys are 5-0 at home. So what are you doing here? What are you building here in terms of making this a tough place for teams to come in and win?
Yeah, I mean, we're trying to play that style no matter the building. You know, but it seems like, you know, all our lines can play the same way. And when we are, you know, the crowd certainly helps us out. And, you know, that's been important to us from the start of the season to make this a difficult place.
Were you guys just right on it to start the game? I mean, I think you guys might have caused 5-6 turnovers in the first 3 minutes of the game. Had some great opportunities, passed up a few shots, had a few shots where he made some great saves. But were you guys just right on it to start?
Yeah, I mean, I think we came out, you know, well, we came out moving our legs, you know, in their face. And like I said, it was two mistakes, really, in the first that, you know, cost us to go down 2-0. So it wasn't hard to kind of regroup in the intermission and come together again and kind of play that same way. And, we stuck with it and it paid off.
Thank you, Sam. Sam Reinhart in the post game. Brian, back to you.
All right. Thank you, Paul. Sam Reinhart, his fourth of the season, late in the second with 31 seconds left, tied things up at 2. Ristolainen had a blast, and Reinhart, of course, in front doing what he always does, his great hand-eye coordination, able to deflect that puck past Martin Jones to tie things up at 2. That was a big goal going into the intermission, knowing that Buffalo had done what they needed to do to erase a 2-goal deficit that San Jose had gotten themselves out to a lead after the first period of play. And then the Sabres come out in the third, and less than a minute in, they score right away. Eichel with a beautiful feed. From just another one of the plays from Eichel in this game. I mean, so many that were so good. But he's down in the corner behind the net to the left of Martin Jones, and he gets possession and turns, and just a real quick pass right on the tape to Skinner, and he roofs it to beat Jones, and that gave the Sabres the lead. And it's just another example not only of what Eichel's doing tonight, but just over the course of the season, the passing has been such improved compared to where we've seen it, not only from last year, but just, I mean, over the last decade. We know how bad the passing's been. We talk about all the time how when the passing is off, it makes the team look slower, and it's been really good. Back to the room. Here's the number one star, Jack Eichel, live with Paul.
Jack, you guys really, really attacked the game in the overtime there.
Yeah.
You might have not had the puck for 5 seconds the whole time, especially the goal. If you could take me through the goal and how that came about.
Just a really good quick up from our own end, and I think we caught them in a change. It's good. I mean, overtime's 3-on-3 is tough in this league. There's so many good players, and the skill level's so high. So it's tough when you give the puck up. I thought we did a great job of possessing it, not letting them get it at all. They have some they have some world class players over there. So making them defend the best way to keep the puck out of their hands and from making plays. So. Riso just gets a good shot on net. The puck was just loose. I was trying to find it, and luckily I was able to bang it home.
Jack, how much frustration did you overcome? That last 30 minutes might be some of the best we've ever seen you play, and you were obviously clearly frustrated at the start.
I think after the last two games on the West Coast, maybe just trying to force things a little bit too much, and I'm at my best when I'm moving my feet and, putting the other team on their heels. So I thought, Vic and Rhino, I thought the three of us, we did a better job of putting pressure on their D, whether or not we had the puck or not. I think just forechecking, trying to get pucks back. It was good to see. I thought our zone time was down the last few games, and we were able to find it a little bit better tonight. We had a lot of chances, and, it's good to help contribute. It's been great so far this season. We've had so many contributions from so many different guys, and I think that's one of the keys to our success is we got a deep group right now, and you're getting contributions from both goaltenders, all defensemen, and all four lines, and it speaks to the work that the guys have put in so far.
Jack, what do you say at the end of the first period where you play like you did? You had all sorts of chances, and you come out of it down 2-0, but dominate the chances. You had some turnovers that you made. That you got some chances out of those. Where do you say after that?
I think we were a little frustrated with where we were at. People always consider this kind of a trap game coming home after a long road trip, they had to travel across the country, so both teams are in the same situation. It was good. I mean, guys stayed up in the room between periods. We kind of just, put our heads together, realized it wasn't our best period, but not to get down. Just find a way to get that next goal, we do. And I thought we took it to them for a while there. And they're a really good hockey team, a veteran team that's, they've played a lot of big games. So I thought they did a really good job of, pushing back there in the third. Hutz made some big saves. Guys made some plays. We find a way to get the win in overtime. That's what's important.
Sorry, Jack. How big was the first goal for you to kind of propel you the rest of the night? Were obviously frustrated and got that shot.
A little frustrated with myself more than anything. I just felt like I had a couple opportunities to shoot the puck. Obviously, the fans were letting me know that I had a few opportunities to shoot the puck. But you guys have watched me long enough. I've obviously passed up a lot of shots in my career trying to make plays. And,
you know, just got to try and find that shooter's mentality a little bit more. I think it'll benefit you know, myself and you know, Sam and Victor. But you know, I'm a pass first guy. I always have been. So you know what, you know, if I could go back to those first two plays, I would obviously like to shoot them. But you learn from it. I think after that, I kind of got it in my head, if I get a chance around the net, the puck was going there. And you know, Rask makes a beautiful pass. It's you know, it's a great job on our power play, able to find one there. And then, you know, the overtime, everyone did a great job. So you know, we stuck with it, found a way to win the game. That's what's important.
You talked this morning about playing here. I mean, 5-0 at home, there's a lot of room on this bandwagon, I assume, in your mind, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm definitely enjoying playing at home in front of this crowd. It's you know, it's been fun. I think we use the home ice advantage to our advantage, and you know, I definitely enjoy playing here. It's comfortable. It's, you know, you're able to get in your routine every day being at this rink, and it's been a lot of fun so far.
Thank you, Jack. Jack Eichel on the post game. Brian, back to you.
All right, there's Jack Eichel. The first star says, "I'm a pass first guy," and yeah, the fans were kind of getting on about. You could hear him laugh and giggle, saying, "Yeah, yeah, I know that." I might have passed up on some good opportunities. All of our blue and gold locker reports delivered by Speed Global Services. Around the corner or around the world, Speed delivers. Visit speedgs.com. Buffalo wins 4-3 in overtime, 8-1-1 on the year. Next up, the Rangers, Thursday night, Madison Square Garden. We'll have it for you right here on the Sabres Radio Network. For all of our local affiliates, we're going to say goodnight to you. If you want to keep listening to the postgame, go to WGR550.com. Coming up, Ralph Krueger's post-game comments, highlights, your phone calls, 803-0550. Lots more here from KeyBank Center. Sabres victorious in overtime, 4-3 over San Jose. I'm Brian Colziel. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network. Back at KeyBank Center, Brian Colziel with you on the Paul William Belts post-game show. Ralph Krueger's post-game comments coming your way in just a few moments. Stick with us right here on the Sabres Radio Network. Highlights from this one are moments brought to you by Firth Jewelers for all the moments in your life. Go forth to Firth. Game tied, 2-2. We pick it up third period, and in the opening minute, Eichel working his magic again from behind the goal line area. He sets up Skinner coming to the net, and Buffalo gets its first lead.
Jokke Haru will send it back down for Eichel behind the net. In front, scores! Jeff Skinner! Yeah, they're hungry, all right. 45 seconds in, and for the first time tonight, the Sabres have the lead.
Skinner giving Buffalo the 3-2 lead. We will pick up with our highlights in just a moment. Ralph Krueger stepping to the podium. Let's take you there live for his thoughts.
Really, we kept a positive tone between periods. Underlined that we were doing a lot of good things, a lot of things right. And, you know, the score got away from us. And how we were going to manage that was, you know, was important with lots of time left to go. And we were pleased the guys stuck with it in the second period. But it was positive in our room after the first period. There was a calm atmosphere with a lot of good voices from the guys, and just a real fun win at the end.
Did you ask the guys to shoot more?
No, we don't generally push that so hard. It's more getting bodies to the net and then pucks, not the other way around. I think for us, it's really important to create traffic and then get the pucks there. We're not an overshooting team, or we're not going to demand that, other than if we're driving into that space. And I thought that went a lot better, and there was a lot of, you know, grade A scoring chances that were created tonight. But you know, San Jose put up a great battle. It was a super hockey game for both sides, and yeah, it was a lot of fun to be a part of.
Is this another case where the power play really gave you guys momentum, even in the chance that you didn't score on? Yeah. Like, that's when your 5-on-5 play really took a boost?
Yeah, no, we've spoken about that a lot. I mean, power play today, the goal was critical. It really shifted the game back our way and changed the momentum in every way. But the PK came through big on when it needed to. So winning that specialty team games against a team like San Jose, who's among the best penalty killers in this league for years, and has a power play that's extremely potent. We're really proud about winning that game 1-0 tonight. And again, the power play gave our offensive players confidence, because we really were moving the puck around hard tonight, and a lot of movement again in the power play, which we were stressing, getting ready for the game, and it definitely carried the momentum into the 5-on-5 game.
These are tough matchups for Jack Eichel. He's one of the elite players, but to see him rack up points again in these kinds of situations, what does that speak to his abilities?
Well, Jack, you know, is seeing, you know, out in California, he had the best players of the other teams against him all the time, and he played really well out there. Wasn't getting points, but he's matured a lot. He stayed so positive and was cheering for the other guys as we got those wins. And you know, he deserved this kind of a game after the way he's been working and playing. And he likes to look those top players in the eyes, and that line in general really stepped up today and had an excellent 5-on-5 game, their best 5-on-5 game of the season at a very important time.
I know you just said that you don't stress shooting as much as going to the net, but are there times you would like to see Jack shoot a little more? Sometimes he passes up.
Well, yeah, Jack specifically, we're pleased to see him. You know, he took a really good one-timer last game on the power play, and you know, we had some smiles about it because we need more, and we're happy to see him score two goals tonight, and especially that shooting goal is important for him to build on. You know, he's very generous in the way he makes plays, but we need everybody to have hunger also to shoot in those opportunities.
Have you liked the way your defensemen have really contributed when it comes to your 5-on-5 game, especially the last couple games?
Yeah. Oh, they're really stepping up, and I thought they played an excellent game today. I thought we were a little bit off on some of our defensive coverage, but the D solved a lot of things, as we've always spoken about. You try to maintain possession under all that pressure, and I think they've more often than not have found solutions that get us going in the other direction with control instead of just handing it back to a team as potent as San Jose. So really pleased with their puck management tonight, for sure.
How much progress do you feel you're making in terms of making this a very tough place for other teams to come in and play?
Well, I think a night like tonight really underlines that points are going to be hard to come by here at the KeyBank Center. I think that it's something that when you're down 0-2 with the way things have been going, it might have been easy to pack up and just move on. But this group didn't want to let that happen, and they fought back and showed a lot of character, a lot of fight. And you know, we're just at the very beginning of a long, hard foot race here, and we respect that and are going to fight to continue to make this a hard place to play, but we haven't confirmed that status yet.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Ralph. Yeah, thanks, everybody.
All right, there's Sabres head coach Ralph Krueger talking about the home ice advantage, or at least him wanting to establish that toward the end of the press conference there. So far, so good. 5-0 to start their schedule. The last time the Sabres opened up with five consecutive wins at home, you got to go back to the 1984-85 season when they won.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.
Their first five. Ralph Krueger's post-game comments brought to you by Paul William Belts, your power of attorney. All right, let's get back to the highlights here. We, before Ralph Krueger, heard Jeff Skinner's goal to put Buffalo up 3-2. At 11:27 in the third, Erik Karlsson got a nice pass from LeBlanc, and he's able to put it home to beat Carter Hutton and tie things up at 3. The Sabres seemed like they were reeling in the final 5 minutes. The play was in the Sabres' end for most of that. The Sharks outshot Buffalo 13-4 in the third. But the legs came in the overtime for Buffalo. You heard Reinhart talk about it. You heard Ristolainen talk about it. They love the 3-on-3. They said the guys really get excited about it. And they really had puck possession for virtually the entire overtime. And at 3:13, it ended. Eichel in front of the net. The scramble in the crease. He pokes it home, and Buffalo wins.
Spins back, now finding an open ice for Rasmus Ristolainen. Takes the shot. Rebound is there. They bang away at it. Referee says they score. Jack Eichel with Ristolainen taking it to the net. And overtime is Sabres time. They stay perfect at home.
They do indeed. Jack Eichel's game winner, 3:13 in, his sixth from Ristolainen to Mittelstadt. The goal of the game is brought to you by Revive Spine Center. Our only goal is getting back to you. Final shot totals, 29-28 Buffalo. There was only one shot in the overtime, and that was the goal. There were some good rushes for the Sabres, but apparently none of them officially ruled as shot on goals. Power plays, Buffalo wins that advantage again. Sabres get one there, 1 of 4. San Jose, 0 of 2. Your three stars, Sam Reinhart gets a goal, star number 3. Erik Karlsson, a good night for the Sharks, a goal and an assist, he's star number 2. And Jack Eichel, no doubt about it tonight, 4 points, 2 goals, 2 assists, number 1 star. And he's the high-impact player of the game, brought to you by the Lockport Outdoor Store, high-impact gear for hardworking men and women. You'll travel 1,000 miles to find a store like ours. The attendance at KeyBank Center, 15,876. Sabres next play on the road. 2-game road trip Thursday in New York against the Rangers, 7 o'clock puck drop, and then in Detroit on Friday against the Wings at 7:30. The Sabres next home game is their final home game of October. Next Monday on the 28th, the Arizona Coyotes are in town for a 7 o'clock puck drop. So there's the rest of October. Thursday at the Rangers, Friday at the Red Wings, next Monday home for the Coyotes. There's your rest of October for Buffalo. Okay, we'll take a timeout. Phone calls coming up, 803-0550, as Buffalo goes to 8-1-1. We'll get your reaction coming up next here. Also a check of the standings, the NHL scores, as we roll on live from KeyBank Center on the Paul William Belts postgame show. I'm Brian Colziel. 4-3, Sabres beat the Sharks in OT. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network. Welcome back to KeyBank Center, Paul William Belts postgame. Brian Colziel here with you. Get to some phone calls here in just one moment as the Sabres get it done by a 4-3 score. Jack Eichel gets the game winner, 3:13 into the overtime, and the Sabres are off to an 8-1-1 start. Really impressive, there's no doubt about it. Each game we keep seeing this. Something new that we learn about this team, well, it's something that we've seen a few times, but the ability for them to not panic. They keep saying that they're not panicking in the locker room, they're not changing the game plan, they stay calm. That's the thing we hear quite a bit, they're staying calm. Sabres were down 2-0 after the first. They looked pretty good, though, in the first, despite being down in the terms of the score, and it showed. They came right out in the second, and I thought had a really good period, and figure out a way to get it done in overtime. Calls here coming up, but Pat Malacaro joins me here now. Calmness from this team, I feel like you can start with the coach. He obviously is setting that mood.
He is, and then your key players who have had to grow up and learn as they've gone along through their career, we've seen it because they've been on the Sabres roster their entire career. You look at guys like Eichel, Reinhart, who have had to grow up and learn to grow into these situations, and it's no coincidence that Rasmus Ristolainen takes a shot from the point. Sam Reinhart's in front of the net, tips it in. That's a play. He finds his way to the front of the net and gets the goal. That's another player who, over the course of his career has had to learn and struggle and learn from his mistakes. So it starts with the coach, and it continues with the players who have had to figure things out as they go.
Eichel's night, he even responded to it, saying the crowd was getting on him early for not shooting. I think you and I, we're sitting here next to each other watching these games all the time, and we always are sitting here saying, Jack needs to shoot that. There's a lot of guys on this team that have good shots. Eichel is probably at the top of the list. He says he's a pass-first guy. He knows he's got to get more of a shot mentality, but, boy, when he wants to take the shot, it can be effective, and when he wants to make a pass, it can also be effective, and we saw it 4 times tonight.
Yeah, it's one of those things. When you've got the odd man rush and you've got the lane, take the shot. Those are the opportunities you want him to shoot the puck. Sometimes when you try and force it, then you say, that's when you want to dial it back and try and move the puck around. But, again, doesn't take the shot there, helps to contribute to both goals of that second period, and then goes to the net after, by the way, the play in the Sabres' end, the only time San Jose really had a chance in that overtime period, looked like Erik Karlsson was going to walk in on a clear 2-on-0, 2-on-1 situation. A Sabre player gets back, hustles, breaks up the chance. Sabres eventually going on the other.
It was Mittelstadt that did that, yeah.
So, that's another young player who is learning from his mistakes, and that's a big spot where Karlsson was walking in by himself, and he doesn't even get a shot off. The puck doesn't even get to the net, and the Sabres go to the other end and score and win it. So that's another play that in the over the course of this game, I think, deserves some credit as well.
Yeah, you mentioned Mittelstadt. The Sabres hoping he'll be here for a long time as we get our look now at the core group presented by Pella Windows. and doors of Western New York, proud partner of the Buffalo Sabres. We know that Mittelstadt didn't have maybe the greatest start to the season, but it's been trending in the right direction as of late. He gets an assist. You mentioned that great play in the overtime tonight, but, I mean, not to repeat Eichel's story scoreline anymore here. I mean, we already talked about the 4 points, but he's a plus two, plays 22 minutes, six shots on goal to lead all players. So even though he probably should have had eight or nine shots in the game with some of the times that we were picking on him for it, he still ends up getting six.
And you look at the distribution of the points a little bit. I mean, Jokke Haru picks up an assist tonight. You look up and down, Ristolainen with a pair. So, you know, there are players, that means they're getting into the play. It's a team effort, and that's something that I feel really has been stressed, and it's been something the message has been received by this team, and that's one of the ways they'll be successful. And we talked about it in the second intermission with the passing. Well, if you have good passing, that means the puck is being moved around and the team as a whole is moving in the right direction.
Yeah. Let's grab a couple calls here. Pat Malacara with me, Brian Colziel now on the Paul William Belts postgame. Sabres win in overtime, 4-3. Jonathan is with us first here on the postgame. Hi, Jonathan. Go ahead.
Hey, Brian. Hey, Pat. Great win by the Sabres today. Wasn't perfect. I mean, they did fall. I mean, some bad bounces in the first period, and then they did kind of fall asleep in the third period. But overall, I'm very happy with this team. They look so much better than last year. And between them and the Bills, it's a very special time in Buffalo sports right now. We know, who knows how long it'll be going to last, but thank you, Pavula.
It is going well. Thank you, Jonathan, for the call. Right now, 13-2-1 for the Sabres and Bills combined. We don't have to even figure out how long. It's been a long time. It's fun right now, and you hope it just can continue to go. I mean, there's a way to maybe poke hole in the Sabre start. There's a way to poke a hole in the Bills start. But all I would say is that we've been begging forever to talk about maybe positive things. So maybe be that guy that takes the positive spin right now, because we've had a decade with the Bills, 2 decades, to be miserable. So enjoy it.
Look, there are going to be losses along the way. But if they're hard-fought games, if you're making the other team earn it, then that's all a positive. It's not a moral victory. You don't win 82 games in the NHL season. It just doesn't happen. So if you end up at the end of the year at around the 90-point mark, between 90 and 100, let's say, and you're more consistent with your efforts, well, then it's a season full of accomplishments and a team moving in the right direction.
That's right. Brian is with us now in the postgame. Hi, Brian. Go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to mention about when the defense becomes healthy again. Now, we got a core that's playing really well, but when Montador comes back, you could rest someone like the Ristolainen for a game. Not two, not three in a row, but like the first game he comes back. Just tell him you need a break. The defense is playing great as a whole, but I'd rest maybe one guy there. And then I would look and maybe see who's playing really well as a forward that can maybe sit if somebody else is playing really well too when they come back to full strength.
Thank you, Brian.
The goaltending, I'm pretty happy.
All right. Brian, thank you. Montour is close, officially labeled week to week, but it sounds like it's closer to like a week maybe, Pat. And when the season started, I would have said Jokke Haru is probably the one to come out. He and Scandella have been really good together. It's been a nice pairing. I don't know where you go. If Jokke Haru comes out and he ends up just being the scratch every night, you want him to play. He's young, developed. Do you want him to go to Rochester? Has he proven that he's beyond that? He's looked pretty good so far through 10 games. Here's one thing that Ralph Krueger talked about the other night when kind of surprised everybody going with Allmark. He used the phrase energy management. We know load management's a name in the NBA here. The NBA season kicks off tonight. I'm sure we'll hear it all year. Jason Bottrell, you'll hear in his interview coming up, they keep talking about the condensed schedule coming up with the Sweden trip and a lot of games in a short period of time. Maybe the rest a guy one night here, rest a guy one night here, and you just keep extra NHL guys around is maybe going to be their plan.
Yeah, but you look at the way the lines have sort of settled out early. You like the way the defensive pairings have kind of matched up, and they've all worked together. So it's a good problem to have, but it's one that you're right. Maybe it does give you a chance into November where you can save a guy and keep the legs fresh so that as you get to later in the year, once you get past the All-Star break and February and March is such a daunting schedule for the final push to the season, that maybe because you're able to rotate guys in and out and sort of figure things out, that you've kept guys much fresher, and that results in more extra victory here or there.
That's right. If we look at the standings, Sabres have played 10 games, one more than Edmonton, Colorado, but they have the most points in the NHL right now. 8-1-1, 17 points. Edmonton, 15 points. Colorado, 15. Boston, 14. So that's how, not only are they atop the Atlantic and the East, but the entire NHL.
10 games in, it's a good place to be at. I know Edmonton's in action tonight as well, so things aren't looking good for them, at least in their game tonight. But
they were down 3-0, I think, to Minnesota.
Yep. So, yeah, look.
It's still 3-0 in the third, so likely the Oilers will lose tonight. 3-0 with 10 minutes to go. Are we seriously looking at Western Conference games, 10 games in here and the standings? I guess that's a good sign, right?
I'd rather be looking at the top of the standings than the bottom of them.
Very, very good point. Pat, thank you.
Thanks, Brian.
Appreciate you joining me a few times tonight. Mm-hmm. And we appreciate everybody listening here to the postgame. But don't go anywhere. General manager Jason Bottrell, he's got to be happy with how his team performed tonight. He met with the media, including our very own Paul Hamilton, a little before tonight's game. And, of course, Paul and the rest got a chance to get some questions in. So before we leave you here from KeyBank Center on the Paul William Belts postgame show, let's hear what the Sabres general manager thinks of his team's hot start. Here's Jason Bottrell on the postgame.
Through the course of the next couple of months here, we know we're going to face adversity. It's how we handle it. And, right now we're feeling very good about our game.
What's the impact of coaching here?
I think it's a combination. I think it's certainly Ralph's brought in, like I said, a clear message, and has done a great job in communicating with our group, and at times one-on-one, at times in groups of three or five. But I also think our players, have been very open to it, and they've been engaged with him since day one. And, you look at whether it's our veteran players, with our goaltender Carter Hutton, or, a player like Marcus Johansson coming into our group, or our young players such as Dahlin or Mittelstadt, they're engaging with our coaching staff. And, at the start of the season, although our record is our record, there's a lot of mistakes all over the place out there. And the fact that we had that dialogue, had that communication to rectify those, I think is good. And I think the focus right now continues to be, hey, how are we getting better each day as a team?
Do you think this group's better equipped to handle the adversity, given the extra year of experience for a lot of guys, even like Jack, and the new faces, whether it be Marcus or Colin Miller?
Look, over a course of 82 games, you're going to have adversity, 100%. And I think our younger players are certainly more prepared for it because of what we're going through. It. A player like Rasmus Dahlin or Casey Mittelstadt, you can talk to them about the NHL grind and what it is and how the level of intensity increases in the second half of the season and what you have to do to have success. But until you go through that entire process, you truly don't know. And I think our veteran players who've been around for 4 or 5 years saw last year certainly, what equates to success, but then how, if you lose those things, if you lose details in your game, how that success can go away. And then the players that we tried to bring in, I think have been a really common influence so far. I think the players that have been through playoff series and have had success have a calmness to them, and they've certainly shown that. And, what we've tried to do, we've brought about it before, is course of over 82 games, we're going to need everyone. We're going to need more depth. We've tried to add that to our group here, and hopefully that allows us to prepare and get through adverse situations. And I think you saw that on the road trip there, that we had scoring from a lot of different lines. Carter Hutton obviously had the great game. We had good goaltending, but I thought our entire team contributed on the road trip.
Is there any fear that Zach Bogosian may not play this season?
In my mind, there's zero fear from that standpoint. He's back skating here right now. Very excited for where Zach is. And look, going over the type of procedure he had, it was a serious procedure. And Zach he's a powerful individual. And so you want him to come back. It's difficult for him right now because he wants to be back there, especially once you get into games as a player, that energy, you want to get back out there, be a part of the group. But it's also imperative for him, for not only us this year, but for his career long term, that we get this right. But from our standpoint, you know, the fact that he's back skating here right now is a good sign, and we look forward to it.
How good a problem do you have on defense, and how difficult is it going to be when Montour's ready to play to decide what you're going to do?
It's a great problem that hopefully we have, you know, is because there was talk a lot, I think, during the summer. We have two main defensemen, and then you saw before games even started, we ran into injury issues. And I think as an organization, we're ecstatic about going over to Sweden. I think with so many Europeans on our team, the opportunity to be in front of family and friends over there, and just to being in that sort of environment for the league, we're very excited about it. But it really condenses our schedule when we come back. And that's where we're going to need all these defensemen. And but we're happy the step that some of our defensemen have taken, and especially I think Henry on the back end has come in and played even beyond our expectations so far.
Is there a sign, I know we're only 9 games in, that of something that Ralph's done where you could say, you know what, last year that would have been different, or this guy's playing somewhat differently, or he's reacted differently? Have you seen any kind of signs so far?
Well, I think it's just, look, when we do face adversity, when like you look at a game such as the LA game that wasn't going the way we wanted it, but we found a way to win the game. You look in San Jose, the excitement of grabbing the 3-2 lead, they come on back right away to score and make it 3-3, but then there's not panic within our game. There's a calmness about, hey, this is what we have to do to have success here. And, you know, I even look back the previous game to Florida, or a couple games last week against Florida. I thought in third period our game was all over the place, but then they did score the goal with last minute that we have to work on in a 6-on-5 situation. But I thought from about the 8-minute mark to right up to the last minute there, we did get back to our game to start playing with some structure in defensive zone, playing the way we had to protect the lead from that standpoint. So those type of things, I think, one, it's a clear message, like I said, from Ralph, and it's also our players understanding they have to play as a unit to have success.
And they trust whatever system they're playing, that's just going to...
Right now, I think there's certainly trust from our player standpoint with their coaches. I think there's dialogue on what works out there, and that's what's been good. It's not only just Ralph. I think, we've faced some adversity on our coaching staff with what's happened with Donnie Granato and with Chris Taylor coming back up there. Like, the interaction with our assistant coaches, with our players right now, is something that we're excited about from a development standpoint.
You
last one here.
How much of a factor is just having a positive attitude around this room? Ralph, no matter what, is always playing it forward in a positive way. How much of a factor is that for these guys, because it has been pretty negative over the years?
Yeah, no, I think he's certainly, and I think Ralph will tell you too, like, he brings a positive attitude and excitement. I think you can see he certainly loves his job right now and loves being back behind the bench. But he's also very truthful with these guys. And it's when things aren't going the right way, or when he sees something in practice or in the game that's not being done to our standards, he's going to correct it. And I think that just that way he's communicating with the players has gone over very well with the players. And it's been a good relationship there.
Significant is it that this team is really, and Ralph is taking to having this as a tough building to play?
Well, look, it's something that Ralph has talked a lot about, look, the results aren't always going to be there, but the effort has to be there. And I must say I enjoyed our kids' game against Dallas a little bit more on last Monday, and I thought that was a great game of just our entire team playing well. But this league is so difficult, and especially as we talked about their schedule, what's going to happen when we come back from Europe there. We have to have an opportunity to capitalize and win our games at home. And I know our players feed off the energy from our fans, and hopefully we'll continue to give them that same effort.
That was Sabres general manager Jason Bottrell earlier today with Paul Hamilton and the media, as he got to see his team tonight come back, foul down by a 2-0 deficit, come back to tie it and eventually win it in the overtime by a 4-3 final. Jack Eichel, the star tonight, 2 goals, 2 assists, 4 points. And the Sabres go to 5-0 to start the season at home, and 8-1-1 overall. Our next broadcast will be Thursday. Sabres and Rangers pregame at 6. Puck drop just after 7 o'clock from Madison Square Garden. Hope you can be with us then right here on the Sabres Radio Network. And that will put a wrap here on our Paul William Belts postgame show. I want to thank our producer back in our Amherst studios, Kyle Powell, for his work tonight. Crew here at KeyBank Center, Pat Mellicaro, Paul Hamilton. Thank you, gentlemen. For our pregame show hosts, Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, and our game announcers, Dan Dunleavy and Rob Ray. I'm Brian Colthill. I thank you for listening. The final again here from downtown Buffalo in overtime. Sabres 4, Sharks 3. We'll talk to you Thursday night right here on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.